And if you're visiting with us for the first time, we want to say welcome. We're so grateful that you're here. We're so thankful that you've decided to come and worship with us this morning. We're madly in love with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We desire nothing else other than to know him and make him known. Amen? Because the more that we know him, the easier it is to fall in love with him. Isn't that true? The more you know him, the easier it is to honor him. You know, I often wonder, why is it that people have so much animosity towards Jesus? Why is it that one name and people lose their minds? People go crazy over the name of Jesus. We go crazy in another way, dancing and shouting hallelujah like a bunch of lunatics in here. And I love it. And I love it, right? That's what we're supposed to do. But they lose their minds when you bring up Jesus. You don't have to bring up church. You can say you go to church, who cares? But when you mention that you love the Lord Jesus with all your heart, all of a sudden every demon inside of them starts to churn. And now all of a sudden that name above every other name starts to destroy and come against all of the lies that they've been told. And they want to stand their ground and do what they want to do. I want you to know, it's a miserable life if you're going to try to do what you want to do in Christianity. Because you will kick against the goads your whole life. This word is about surrender. Amen? That's what this word is all about. When you surrender to his love, it's overwhelming. How many here tried to do it your own way? Yeah. That's why the line is all the way out my office some days. God wants to do something different in our lives. Amen. He's doing something different right now. Let's not wait till tomorrow. We're at the end of another year. Did you meet your goals? Did you write any goals down? Did you have a thought of where you wanted to be by the end of last year? Did you meet that goal? See, these are the thoughts that we need to have at the end of another year. Now, in God's calendar, it's just another year. To us, it's a big deal. His is just another day. Because a day with him is like 1,000 years. But for us, it is a time of new beginnings. Amen? I don't know about you, but I always get excited when the Christmas holiday comes around and then New Year's is coming, and it's always that breath of fresh air. Thank God it's a time where it's downtime, usually. Can I get my water, love? And it's amazing how when we have some downtime, we love to create noise in the midst of when it's supposed to be peaceful. We're good at creating noise, aren't we? Creating busyness, running, and thinking as long as we're moving, we're getting something accomplished. Can I tell you, that's one of the biggest lies there is. Just because you're moving doesn't mean you're getting anything done. Maybe last year you spent some time moving and nobody was moving like you were. Nobody beat you around that bush. You went around faster than anybody and you proved them wrong. You were going to get something done. How about this year we just take our time and walk in a straight line and accomplish what he's asked us to do? Because when we do what he's asked us to do, there's a whole lot gets done. You know, this morning as we talk about fasting a little bit in a little while, I just want to talk about the spiritual disciplines for a minute. Probably some of you don't even know there's about 12 spiritual disciplines. You can make up as many as you want, but there's 12. That pretty much encompasses everything. And they create behaviors in us that facilitate spiritual growth. I don't know about you, but I want spiritual growth this year. I don't want fleshly growth. I want spiritual growth. I'm not getting any taller. Gravity is a pain. So, you know, at 60, you're not as tall as you were at 50, I think, maybe by 1/4 inch. And I remember my grandfather was like 6'2", and then just before he died, he was under 6 foot. gravity is terrible. It just keeps pulling you down, shorter and shorter. But there are spiritual disciplines for each one of us that if you'll incorporate them into your life, everything starts to change. How many people love the word discipline? Right, because most of the time we picture discipline as abuse, because that's what we were told. But the reality is that discipline is one of the most beautiful words you'll ever hear. Because whom the Lord loves, he chastises. It's a loving God that doesn't allow you to keep going into a dead end, into the darkness, with no circumstances and no ramifications for our actions. Right? What parent would ever do that for their child? Hey, you're strung out on drugs? Good. Here's some new stuff they got. It's called fentanyl. Try it. What idiot would do that? Now, there's probably some that have, but because they didn't know better, or because they were weak, or they were caught up in it themselves. But it's abuse, because every parent wants to draw that child closer back to what their original intent was. Amen? And their original intent was they were created in the image of God. Tell your neighbor, say, you look like God. Some people struggle with that thought process, but I want you to know, you look like God. He's created you in his image. In the image of him, he created them. And so this morning, because you're created in him, by him, and for him, you have a purpose and a design from the beginning when you took your first, even before you took your first breath, you have a purpose. And God is always trying to bring us back to that original purpose, and we always keep making noise. We always try to keep going in a different route, wanting our way. God starts to create a new level of consciousness or awareness in us when we step out into these 12 disciplines. You know, the desire of God has been written on your heart. The Bible says that no one will have an excuse when they stand before God, because it's written on our hearts. Amen? Everyone in here was written on your heart. I don't know where you were when you came to Christ, what dark area you were in, or maybe you were just nice your whole life. Maybe you were raised in church your whole life. Let me tell you something. You guys that are raised in church your whole life, you've got issues. They do. They do. I thought I had issues. And I did. And I do. And we're working on them. But let me tell you something. Just because you're raised in church your whole life does not mean you don't have issues. Does not mean that you know exactly what God has called you to do and you're doing what God has asked you to do. Because you can be raised in church. There's some wild ones that have been raised in church. Mm-hmm. Some people are just looking straight down. I'm not looking, I'm not looking, I'm not looking. Because man was created by God and for God, and God never ceases to draw man to himself. He'll never stop drawing you to himself. No matter how far you try to run, he'll never stop drawing you back. Because he wrote that on your heart, and there's a tugging on our hearts all the time. We know when we're going off base. Sometimes, you know, the older you get, even a little bit of a tweak, you're like, ah. When you're younger, you're like way out there before you realize. Sometimes you're just running, it's like, hey, everything's going well. You're way out, and all of a sudden, oh, this isn't good. How did I get here? But as you get older, you're like, eh, that didn't feel good. Like I twisted my ankle all of a sudden. Just didn't feel good. I better just straighten things out. Only in God will we find the truth and happiness that we never stop searching for. Only in Christ. The whole world is looking for peace. The whole world is looking for joy. The whole world is looking for happiness. The whole world is looking for purpose. And many people step outside the purpose that God created them for and just decide, this is what I'm going to call my purpose and spend my whole life doing it. And how many know many people will spend their whole lives in what they decided their purpose was going to be and miss the plan of God completely? Just because someone is a successful businessman does not mean that they fulfilled the purpose in Christ. There's a lot of businessmen out there that died poor. A lot of millionaires and billionaires that will die very, very poor when they stand before the Lord if they deny Jesus Christ as their Savior. They will be the poorest people that ever walked the earth to deny the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So don't think for a moment that your success comes because of what you have. Your success comes because of who you are and whose you are. When you find that out, everything starts to change. The dignity of man rests above all on the fact that his call is to commune with God. Can we agree with that? That's what we're here for. We're here to commune with God. We're here to spend time with him, to figure out who we are in him. And as we do that, in order to do that, we're going to have to stick to his word, because that's where he stays. He never gets outside of his word. If man exists, it's because God has created him through love, and through love continues to hold him in existence. And he cannot fully live according to the truth unless he freely acknowledges that love and entrusts himself to his creator. So this is about surrendering, right? Because number one on the catechisms is, because man is created by God and for God, and God never ceases to draw man to himself. That's the number one catechism. You were created by God and for God, so you're never your own. You're never your own. In America, we have independence. Everybody's striving and struggling for independence or individualism. I'm my own man. I'm my own woman. I'll do what I want. Well, that doesn't always work out so well. Didn't for me anyway. Can I tell you, your discipline always goes on display. Whatever you're disciplining yourself in is always on display. Every time you talk, your discipline is on display. What you put your hands to when your day's off or whatever, when there's a need, your disciplines are always on display. Everybody knows the area of your life, what you discipline. Excuse me. You know, what might a non-believer see in us that would help them to know Jesus or the Father better? What does a non-believer see? Our disciplines are what they see. What we discipline ourselves with when we're all by ourselves, when nobody is looking, when we're spending time with the Father, in that place, we start to build a life that is, the purpose of it is to draw the non-believer to understand the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Paul said it in Romans 15:18. He said, "For I will not presume to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me, resulting in obedience of the Gentiles by the word and deed." By word and deed. He said, I'm going to preach Christ because the result is there's going to be obedience in those that are lost. They're going to see the joy of the Lord in my life. We've got 12 people right now signed up for baptism. Who will make it 13? 13, give me number 13. Who number? Come on. I know there's more that are in here that haven't been baptized. And I want you to know that if you were sprinkled as a child, you weren't baptized. You were dedicated. Okay? And because it says to repent and be baptized, every one of you. So that repentance means that you have an understanding of right and wrong. And you understand what the law says, because outside of the law, if you don't know what the law says, you don't know whether you're right or wrong. So if you can understand the law, you're not going to be baptized. At least we're not going to baptize you here until you have understanding and you make a conscious decision. I'm going to follow Jesus Christ the rest of my life. Amen? And so if you were sprinkled as a child, that was because your parents dedicated you and they wanted you to walk in the things of God. And if you're in church today, congratulations. We're glad you're here. But one of the scriptures says that, you know, it's commanded for man to, my goodness, I got too many scriptures running through my head. That we're to be saved and baptized, right? Which is an outward expression of an inward decision, because sometimes people have said, hey, pastor, can I get baptized all by myself? I've had people ask me that. And I feel so sad, because are we ashamed of Jesus Christ? Are we ashamed to profess our love for the Lord and our conversion into Christianity? You see, I think a lot of America is leaning that way. Let's make sure nobody feels uncomfortable. Thanks for that, honey. Nobody, we don't want you feeling uncomfortable. I want you very uncomfortable. You are so good when you're uncomfortable. We are terrible when we're comfortable. Terrible. Listen, this is why we love mission trips. Because it gets everybody out of their comfort zone. Gets everybody outside of what you do every single day. Because what you do every single day, if people aren't coming to Christ, something needs to change. Because if I'm preaching the word of God and the word of God goes forward and somebody's life gets changed, amen? Now, how many here have the ability to preach the word of God? Right? We all do, right? And we've studied the word of God to show ourselves approved, correct? So if we're preaching, if the word of God never returns void, but always accomplishes that which he sent it to do, then if I'm preaching the word of God and people are coming to Christ and you're preaching, what if nobody's coming to Christ? Isn't this the question we all have to ask? Because if we're not sure, if the word of God accomplishes that, it came from eternity and it changes people's lives, then what am I preaching if there's nobody sitting next to me? What am I preaching? How am I living? Because I'm not talking about preaching on the pulpit. Please hear my heart. How am I living? Am I living out the disciplines that God has given me? As Paul said, I'm only going to speak about Christ and what he has accomplished through me, resulting in the obedience of the Gentiles by word and deed. What brings obedience? Paul's discipline to only preach Christ. That's what happens. And then the heathen hear about it and their hearts are changed, just like ours were. In Romans 12, 1 through 8, it says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. And we know that if we're a sacrifice, then we die on the altar. We don't climb off the altar. We don't come back to life as our old self. Every thought we take captive, and we destroy that word, the old man, with the word of God. Amen? That old way of thinking is wiped away by the truth. So we become that holy sacrifice. Holy means we have nothing to do. Scripture says that we're to hate the world. Hate everything about it. Anything that is worldly, anything that takes its eyes off of the King of Glory and tries to make itself the focus or an idol, we're to hate it. The ways of the world have crept into the church. Look at this, the end of the year. We can go this direction. Because I don't want the same thing happening in my life next year. I want to live differently. I don't know about you, but I want to be different next year. I want to die to a degree that I've never died before. And I want to live to a degree that I've never lived before. Right? And if we'll do that, Paul said, it's going to bring the result will be the obedience of the Gentiles by word and deed. If we'll die to ourselves and then live in him, the Gentiles will be sitting here in this house. And I don't know about you, but my cry is his cry. One more, one more, one more. All of his kids, that none perish. And he goes on to say, which is your spiritual service of worship. So there's work involved. It's your spiritual service of worship. He said, don't be conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's going to take work. It's going to take discipline to renew your mind. And Lord knows our minds need renewing. Amen. Doesn't matter how long you've been living in Christ. If we're not walking in the fullness of everything that God promised us in his word, then areas of our lives still need to be renewed. Okay? Just because you're not drinking, drugging, and chewing, you know, like those that are still doing, doesn't mean that you're walking in the fullness of all that God promised. Because there's more. Can you say amen? There's more that he has for you to change people's lives along with ours. So that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Everyone here has got a measure of faith. Tell your neighbor, say, mine is a big measure. See, I don't know what that word exactly, how much that means. But when it's God's measure of faith, that's a big measure. If God measures one day is like 1,000 years, what kind of a measure of faith did he give you? Most of the time, you know, the Bible says that if you have the faith of a what? Mustard seed. And that's where most people's faith starts out, and that's where they believe they still are at times. I've talked to Christians that have been walking in Christ for a long time. Well, brother, I'm just at a mustard seed faith. Well, that's less than what God promised, because he gave you a measure. He didn't say he gave you a mustard seed. He just said if that's all you have, you can still move mountains. If you've reduced what he's given you down to that, if you've taken his word and said, okay, all I have is a mustard seed now, you can still move mountains. But I want you to know God's measure for you is more than a mustard seed. For just as we have many members in one body and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them. Tell your neighbor, say, you need exercise. Yeah. Tell your other neighbor, say, you definitely need to exercise. Yeah. All right. See, we're talking about faith. We're talking about faith. Only faith. If prophecy according to the proportion of your faith. There's people in here that you're holding back the words that the Lord has given you. It's time you opened your mouth and stepped out in faith. Just like the 12 are going to step out in faith and get baptized in front of you. Others, if you've got a word of prophecy, if you're supposed to be out there evangelizing, if you're one that knows how to make a lot of money and to give, that's your gift. Whatever it is, if God's called you to preach the word of God to pastor, or he's called you to go out and as a sent one and do apostolic work, then we need to answer that call. But it's never going to happen unless we discipline ourselves. How do we start disciplining ourselves? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Coming to church, right? If in service, in his serving, he who teaches, in his teaching, he who exhorts, in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. These are the areas that we need to exercise this year. If God's called you to serve, and find a place to serve, there's lots of room. There's all kinds of room. If you can sing, then you can serve. If you love children, you can serve. If you like to eat, you can serve. If your heart is broken for those that are downhearted, downtrodden, you can serve. We go into the jail every week. We went in 2 weeks ago. We went to Brookwood. Myself, Pastor Jeff, and Dennis. Dennis, they tried to keep there. They did. They love his heart. They asked him to come and volunteer. They want him there. They listened to him. He shared. Each one of us shared. And at the end, he said, hey, would you want to come back here and just volunteer and talk to these kids? They were 17 to 21 years old. 20 of them in a room. All 20 of them. Only one didn't believe in Jesus Christ. All the rest of them believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. We made sure of that before we left. And then Pastor Jeff, or Dennis preached, and then Pastor Jeff preached, and then I preached, only 10 minutes each, boom, 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 well, it was supposed to be. But all 20 of those guys, can I tell you, by the time we were done, we had never met them before, by the time we were done, they were coming up and just hugging us and looking for a handshake. And every single one of them, listen, if you want... it's not about, you know, who does the most. That's not the issue. The issue is if you've got a gift and you use it, someone else's life is going to be changed. We had never been in Brookwood before. Never went in there. Not on purpose anyway. But these boys were just holding us, hugging us. We gave them all gifts. We encouraged them all. Most of them are out of Brooklyn. Some of them upstate here. And my heart just broke because there was a breakdown in the disciplines when they were younger by someone in their life. Half of them said, where'd you grow up? Down the city. What about your dad? Don't know him. One of them, he beat us all. Another one, he just left. He left us. Forget the one was either a birthday or a Christmas or something like that. Dad just never came home again. And these young boys now have tried to figure it out. And they're all out there and they're waiting for the church. And if we'll study and practice our disciplines, and then we'll express our love for God, we'll change the world. In Colossians 1:29, it says, "For this purpose also I labor," Paul says, "striving according to his power, which mightily works in me." He said, I labor. It's going to take work. It's going to take discipline. The 12 disciplines. You ready? Just quickly. Number one, what would it be? In the beginning was the? And the word was? With God, and the word was God. So in the beginning, you're going to have to read the word of God. That's the first discipline. Yeah, but I can't get up in the morning. Then read before you go to bed. I wouldn't suggest that. You're too tired. And then the pages stick together from the drool. I would encourage you to find a time during the day to read. Set it aside. Whatever time works good for you. The best time is getting up early in the morning. That means you have to go to bed at night. Turn off the television. Go to bed. The most important meeting you'll ever have in your life will be first thing in the morning with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Number two would be prayer. Would be prayer, right? In everything, through prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. Crying out to God. That's that communion with God, the community that you build. God's desire is that you would know him and his ways and his word. And as you know him, it's so easy to honor him. Most people struggle honoring God because they don't know him, because they haven't read about him. They haven't disciplined themselves and found out just how beautiful he is, how magnificent he is, how gracious he is. We know about it when we first get saved, but then after a while, it becomes almost mundane at times. And every one of us have had a dry season in our lives when it came to reading and prayer. Can I tell you, that's why we need a fast. We need a fast because we need to die. We need to lay aside our desires. We need to lay aside all the noise. We need to shut the television off. We need to shut off every screen we have. Can I tell you, when you go to read during this fast that we're going to do for the 2 weeks, don't use your phone or a tablet. Get out the old written word. Bring your highlighter. Because God wants to speak to you when you're reading. When you read his word, he brings things off the pages and he says, hey, this is for you. And you say, I've never seen that before. And you've read it 50 times. Get out the written word so that there's no chirps or beeps or reminders or your friend texting you or some phone call distracting you. When you read it on a tablet, the enemy will do everything he possibly can to distract you. On your phone, everybody and people you don't even remember will call you. You don't even remember the name. Where did I meet them? That must have been back in 68. My goodness, I have no idea. Everybody and their brother will call. There'll always be some emergency that can be solved an hour later. I just want to encourage you, if we're going to be disciplined, set this stuff aside. We've got 2 weeks. I guarantee you'll be changed. So number one, reading the word. Number two, prayer. Number three, your favorite? Fasting. Yeah. Your body loves it. Your mind hates it. Let me tell you, your body loves fasting. Your body says, thank you for not shoving that junk down your throat today and give me a break. You know how hard your stomach has to work to grind up all of that food you're shoving down your head? I know how mine was working on Christmas Day, that's for sure. Maybe a 60-day fast is in line for after that. But I want you to know your body says yes. Every scientist in the world will tell you your body's screaming for you to back away from the table. The Bible says push away if you're struggling with food. Put a knife to your throat. I don't know about you. Whew. I think God meant something there. He said, put a knife to your throat if you got a problem pushing away from the table. So fasting, which we're going to talk about in a minute. Confession. You got to change your confession. Every morning, I want you to be confessing who God says you are. and defeating the rest of those thoughts that are in your head. And number five would be worship. Oh, that the children of God would crank your music up in your house and get lost in worship when no one else is around, where we don't need a whole worship team to lead you in. It's just the love of the Father that draws you. Fellowship is number six. We're to walk in fellowship with one another. We're to encourage one another. We're to build each other up in the most holy faith. We're supposed to be in fellowship. The Bible says that a man who isolates himself does what? Seeks his own destruction. I was just watching a little clip yesterday. It was a whole herd of, I want to say mammoths, but that's not the right word. Muskox, that's what they were. Whole herd of muskox. And this polar bear started running at the muskox. And the little ones couldn't go through the deeper snow. The big ones were going, and they peeled off, all three of them. And then one, he just fell off. He went a different direction, and that polar bear stayed on the two. And he was just waiting for one to get exhausted and be all by himself. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you feel like you're all by yourself. I want you to know you're not. And then you need to call up someone in this house and say, I need fellowship because I feel like an outsider. I've come to the church for 3 weeks. Nobody has invited me to spend the night, do a slumber party, get on our pajamas. Nobody said hi to me. Nobody even knows my name. People feel isolated. Now, if you do it purposely, that's because you've got an issue that you haven't dealt with. And you need to get back into the word and into prayer and into fasting because you need to deal with that and go forgive that brother or that sister, or you need to repent of something that you have done and get back in the sheepfold. Otherwise, you're all by yourself and you're going to get exhausted thinking about yourself. Don't you get tired of thinking about you? Is that really true? Do we ever get tired of thinking about ourselves? Yeah, I pray we do. I pray that we agree that God has made a way where there seems to be no way. And therefore, all of my days are in him. And everything I put my hands to will prosper. And therefore, I'm not worried about tomorrow. For I know my tomorrows are in his hand. So fellowship. And then rest. We need to get into his rest. And so we should be living in his rest. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We find our rest in him. Amen. That's what the scripture says. You find your rest in him. It's not about how many hours of sleep you get. Because you can sleep all day and all night and still be exhausted mentally when you wake up because of all the cares of this world. But when we walk close with him, we find our rest in him and everything starts to change. Number eight is celebration. We need to celebrate. That's got to be a discipline. It's got to be a discipline that you make in your life. Husbands, you need to celebrate that God gave you that woman that you didn't deserve and that you haven't treated just right all your marriage. Nobody's done it all just right. I've come close. No. Nobody. I'm just kidding. Nobody has done it all just right, and we all have work to do. Amen? We've got to work on celebrating that. How many marriages are weak because they don't celebrate one another? We need to learn to celebrate. How many people are struggling with their children because they don't celebrate them? How easy is it to correct compared to give accolades all the time? How easy is it to find what's wrong in your own self, then in your marriage, and then in your children, when the Bible says we're to celebrate one another? We're to build each other up in the most holy faith. The world tears everybody apart. Every single person, but not in this house. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm here to build you up. Tell your other neighbors, say, I celebrate you. Number nine is service. If you're not serving, then you're outside the disciplines that God has desired for our lives. You've got to serve. If you're not serving in the kingdom of God, you don't understand what you were set free for. Number 10, generosity. Be generous. I tell my boys all the time, whenever you get that paycheck, I want $5 going to somebody you don't know, and they can't be your best friend. I'll buy you a chocolate milk, you buy me one. How many times do people do that, right? Bless those that bless you. No, I want you given to something or someone you have no control over and you get nothing in return. Find somebody in need, even if they're not in need. Even if they're not in need, but if God puts them on your heart, go and sow something into their lives. Oh, church, we need to be generous. We need to be the most generous people on the planet. Why? Because we draw from the storeroom of our King, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and there's no limit to what he has. And therefore, if you believe that, you'll take with what he's given you and you'll sow it into somebody else's life. As the church, we need to be the greatest givers the world has ever seen. We need to be given. And not just your finances, but your time. Giving some kind words. Number 11 is purity. Walking in purity. And if walking in purity means you smash your cell phone, then smash your cell phone. Buy a pigeon. I don't remember that one. I'm trying to think of a... But I'm serious, though. If that thing is keeping you in bondage, which is what it was designed to do, it's the whole purpose, was to get you to think a certain way. And if that thing is controlling you, be accountable with someone else. If that's destroying not only your purity, can I tell you, purity doesn't have to do with only just sexual things. Purity has to do with your thoughts, all of them. And if the only thought you have is, what are we buying off of QVC this week? What's on sale at Kohl's? If that's the only thought you have, and that's what consumes you, you want to see how bad it is? Check out your screen time. How much time do you spend on that screen? Now you have to multiply the iPad, the iPhone, the laptop, the tower, whatever kind of computer it is. I want to encourage you, we need to be pure in our thought process. The only way to purify your thoughts is the Word of God. If your thoughts are outside the Word of God, if you look at someone around you and say, I hate them, your thoughts are impure. And you're placing yourself in bondage. You don't need an iPhone to hate people. I always tell my boys, people live their whole lives. You got a generation coming that's living their whole lives watching other people go around the world and do things. Yes. And a whole generation that does nothing but watches a few. That's not the life I want. I want to be the guy making the videos. I want to be the one out there going around the world, changing the world, transforming people's lives, not watching somebody else do it. You got one shot at life and then it's over. So when my mind is pure, that means I believe that I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me, right? And that the whole world is my playground. And number 12, the last one. You ready? Another one of your favorites, disciple making. Yeah. That's your discipline. These are the 12 disciplines that we're supposed to spend our lives doing and building so that we grow the kingdom of God. This isn't about me. This is about me coming under what his word says to do so that his kingdom is expanded. And one day when I come and I stand before him, he says, well done. Now check out what I've got for you for all of eternity. All I asked for was a few years of your obedience, and I wanted you to walk in the freedom that I paid for at Calvary. But if you're not going to do that, don't think that this eternity is for those that sat and watched the television all day long. I can't find a scripture that says that. He who sits his life away lives with God in perfect peace on all of eternity. He who does nothing that the King desires enjoys the benefits of the Father. I can't find that in there. I can find where those that lose their life gain life, eternal life. Those who give, receive. Those who die, live forever. I can see those, but I can't see laziness in the Word of God having any great benefit in our lives. And laziness is staring at a screen. Because we know that as we look through the years, right, that with man is usually ignorant to God's ways, even in the church. Even in the church, people lie against the truth, meaning that we're ignorant of God's ways, that we don't understand what his word says, that we're arrogant concerning our place in the universe. Some people think that they are the universe. We're busy making our own plans, constantly invite noise into our lives. We deny our sins at times. We try to hide them, and we are attracted to idols. This is man down through the ages, not talking about us right now. We're talking about all of mankind. Man is attracted to idols. You don't think so? Look at the people that follow, whether it's a sports figure or a finance figure or some figure of someone that was a success in man's eyes, and how they idolize them. And the news and the media, they put those people forward and said, you need to be like them. We need to be like Christ. Amen? And it's gonna take us dying to ourselves. Moses wrote in Psalms 90 and verse 1, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. I don't know about you, but I need that place of refuge. That's where I want to live. You know, in that refuge, it's free from sin and grief and shame. And there it is for us in God, and all we have to do is enter in. Freedom comes when you enter in. Freedom comes when I enter in. Your future is not ahead of you. It lies within you. Can you agree? Everything that God has planned, he put inside of your heart. He said, I know the plans that I have for you. It's not the plans that he has for somebody. He didn't tell you all the plans he has for somebody else. We might know in part, prophesy in part over someone else's life what God's called them to do, and we know that. We know God shows us these things when we press into him. Amen? We prophesied over people here. I prophesied over Leon and said that one day he's going to pastor a church. That's the call of God on his life. He can run from it all he wants. He can try to hide if he wants to, but it's going to happen whether there's heel marks in the sand all the way to his first church. Or he's going to live a miserable life. Because the men and women of God that denied the word of God, their lives didn't go pleasant all the way through to the end. But I want him to live in such a way that other people's lives are set free. No matter what. Look, there's enough guys in here to beat him into submission. Amen? We could take him, right? We could take him. His future is not something outside of him. His future is inside of him. That's why God gave him a number one lady. He gave him a wife that would walk alongside of him and support him, build him up because he's going to need it. He's going to cry like a little baby on days. Trust me. Haven't I, Bren? I have cried like a little baby girl. No offense, women. It's just a figure of speech. It's one of the most amazing things you can ever do with your life. Give it all to him. But in order to do that, you're going to have to let go of what you control. That's scary. Maybe there's something too. Jesus, take the wheel. I don't know. I'm just kidding. I hate that song, but hate it. But I'm telling you, until you let go of what you want, what you think, what you desire, what your plan is, God doesn't have the freedom to bring you to a place that's supernatural. Bring you to a place far beyond your wildest dreams. I am living the dream. I just want you to know. Pastoring this church, it is a dream come true for me and my bride. We are loving our lives. I can't imagine doing anything else with my life than serving the King with all of my heart. So many are afraid and run from it. Don't run from what he's called you to do. Isaiah 1:19 says, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. If you're willing and obedient, there's the discipline. You got to surrender and then do. So we've got a 2-week fast coming up. I don't know what's going on in your life, but I want you to know that if you want to, you can break free from every lie that's in your head. I'm telling you, I'm living free of a lot of lies that are in my head. There's still ones that come back all the time and try to slow down what God is doing. You're not good enough. And now what? All kinds of different lies. You failed again. Whatever the ones that try to come back into our lives, the enemy always keeps throwing. And I want you to know, when you get into a time of fasting and prayer, and fasting has to do with food. In the scripture, it always has to do with food. There were no TVs. Moses did not have a TV. He had a burning bush. That was better. That wasn't 3D or 4D or 5D. That was in real time. It's about giving up food. Food's an addiction. Our government has created food to be addictive. So you'll eat junk. And then if you eat junk long enough, you destroy your body. And then when your body's destroyed, they give you a pill to fix your body. They create both ends of it. Isn't it amazing how they did that and they lied to us all these years? Come on, RFK. Anyway, I'm just saying. Let me just tell you something. RFK cares about us. He wants healthier food in America.
Yes.
I'm all in.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm all in.
Yes.
Can I just tell you? Tell your neighbor, say, you need healthier food choices. Tell your other neighbor, say, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. You don't even have to say it to your other neighbor. Listen, these are simple things that we can do in order to give us longevity, but we need a healthy body to stay longevity, to work a long time for the kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen.
So we do. So fasting always has to do with what?
Food.
So giving up food for a season. But it's not just giving up food. It's about giving that time to prayer and the word. It's about surrendering to that. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 to 18, it says, whenever you fast, whenever, most Wednesdays I'll fast here throughout the year. It's been something I've done in the years past, and I try to stay with it. And I'll give the whole day just to him and go without eating. Why? Because I don't want to be ruled by anything else. I want to be ruled by the leading of the Holy Ghost. And the scripture says, when you fast, do not put on a gloomy face. Listen, if you've never fasted before, I want to encourage you, join with us. It'll change your life. It changed my life. Fasting changed my life. It says, whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do. For they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly I say to you, they have the reward in full. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret. Can we turn that down a little bit, Pete? That's real loud up here. Starting to get me upset. I might preach for another 20 minutes. You get me upset, Pete. But it's the reward that comes. There's a reward that comes from obedience. And this is Jesus speaking in Matthew. He said, whenever you fast, this was something he knew we needed. This is something that where we'd empty ourselves out. I can't believe how huge intermittent fasting is right now. If you type in fast, intermittent fasting comes up. And anybody that's trying to live a healthier lifestyle is doing intermittent fasting. They're taking biblical principles and applying to their lives, and they're getting healthier because of it. Isn't that incredible? And this is what God wanted for us our whole lives. He didn't want us to be consumed with the eating, with the television, with everything else. He didn't want us distracted. This is a time, he says, I want you to pull away, and I want you to think about me. I want you to worship me. I want you to read about me. I want you to cry out to me, and I want you to draw aside. It doesn't twist God's arm. It doesn't make God do so. Oh, look at God. I fasted 6 hours. Hook a brother up. That's not how fasting works. Fasting is about you dying to yourself and you saying, I love you, Father, more than I love myself. I want you more than I want my normal activities in my life. I'm going to set this time aside, and we're setting it aside This is a corporate fast. I do individual fasts all year. But this is a corporate fast. We get together from 6 to 7 in the mornings on Monday through Friday here. Saturday and Sunday, you're on your own. But Monday through Friday, 6 to 7 in the morning, 6 to 7 at night. And then we spend time, that 1 hour in prayer and fasting. And what we'll do is we write down things that people are praying for and believing God for. One time a lady came in and she said, I want my marriage. It's broken, but I want my marriage. And I'll have it. I said, you're doggone right, you will. And we went to prayer and fasting. And we spent the whole time. Every day we brought that up. That was for like 21 days, I think that one was. Can I tell you? She got her marriage. And it's a powerful, strong marriage. She made a decision. I'm going to lay my life down so that he's glorified in a greater way. I want to be able to hear. And that's what happens when you empty yourself out. Then all of a sudden you can hear a lot clearer. You will get stronger. You'll get faster because, you know, losing weight. But no, it's not the weight that stays off, though. We don't do it to lose weight. But you get clear in the way that you think. If you've never fasted a day before, just take a meal. If you've fasted a meal, take a day. If you've done a day, do 3 days. This isn't about, you know, he who fasts for 14 days wins. You're a spiritual giant then. The rest of your life is all taken care of. This is about you saying, I want to lay down my life and I want to press into the things of God. Lord, I want all the distractions laid aside. Because I want to know what your plan for my life is, and I want to be able to hear your voice clearly. And I want you to know he will speak to you. He'll open up the windows of heaven and rain down. He will answer your cry. I'm telling you, your God wants communion with you. And these are times where we've cried out. Sometimes they've cried out and they fasted for a nation in the Old Testament. Whew. I got some time. I got 1,434 minutes left. You guys are being good to me, Chad. Sometimes they fasted for a nation. Sometimes they fasted for over a battle that they were in. Sometimes they fasted for individuals. I don't know what you're going to be fasting for, but I want to beg you, please come and join us. It's one of the spiritual disciplines. You will not. Come out unchanged. I guarantee you. If you'll put it aside and drink water, a lot of water. Listen, if you're on medication, see your doctor. Maybe he'll tell you, I give it a fast and you'll come off all your meds. I don't know. But drink a lot of water. Lots. I usually put a little bit of lemon in mine just for some taste. If you have a doctor, if you have meds, see your doctor. Please do not do it without getting wisdom. There's some powerful stuff out there that we wouldn't want to take a chance on anybody. But time in the Word and prayer, and during the times when you would normally be eating, also in the mornings and evenings instead of the worldly influences. And really pray about what distractions do I have in my life. I don't know about you, but I've got some distractions I need to get rid of. Some of them are in my own head. Some of them are natural. What is it that's hindering you from surrendering all? What is it that's hindering you from being that gift to the world and changing people's lives? Set yourself up to be able to hear more clearly, breaking any thoughts that have been leading you astray and learning to trust him in everything. Fasting is about denying ourselves, magnifying him, listening to him, sitting quiet. That's a hard enough task for Americans, just to sit quietly before the Lord with nothing going on but the Word of God before us. We're going to be praying for breakthrough for your lives. My desire is that while we're fasting, that there is breakthrough. Every single person, whatever has been holding you back, we're going to be praying for your breakthrough. Because we want to see people's lives change, first of all yours. And I want mine changed too. It's not, we're praying for our own too. And then we're also praying that the body of Christ stands up and becomes that army that God has created it to be. So that when we walk out of this door, you have a purpose. Right? That we're practicing the disciplines. Write those disciplines down, all 12 of them. And then each day while you're fasting, say, Lord, I want to get into the word. Then I want to get into prayer. And we're already in fasting. Help me to be generous during this time, Lord. Lord, how much do you want me to set aside that I'm just going to sow into someone else's life? Right? We're not buying each other lunch right now. What's a bottle of water? That's all we'll be doing, right? So we're not going to lunch. We're not going to dinner. We're thinking about how we can sow into somebody else's life. Lord, if there's thoughts that are impure in my life, how do I change that? Lord, how do I destroy that? And I know it's through reading of the word and agreeing with what you said. Lord, help me to get stronger in that. So no matter who walks in front of me, Lord, I can see their heart rather than their actions. That every marriage would be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Every single marriage, we're praying for growth. These are the things that we'll be crying out for. All right? So as we fast, we're laying aside the food. We're pressing into the things of God. We're listening for his voice as we read his word. And we're spending time in worship all by ourselves or as a family. Listen, if you've got young children, bring them in. Read to them. Read out loud. And they can eat whatever. You know, I don't know about you, but I like cooking breakfast for my kids when I was fasting. I'd get there and I cut up onions and peppers and everything, put them in the eggs. And I get full every time. Can I tell you that after the third day, it's all just a mental issue? Your body won't mind it a bit. Your body starts to function a lot better with less time eating. So the natural man benefits from it also. The spiritual man grows like there's no tomorrow. And you get to see more clearly what God has planned for your life. So as we enter into this time, and we'll have next Sunday also before we enter into the fast. So we've got another week. That doesn't mean eat all the cookies in the house this week. Honey, get the prime rib on the table, baby, and the ham and the goat and everything else that you can possibly cook. I did that. I remember doing that in the beginning. I was so... Man, we're going. Remember the first 3-day fast? Worst thing you can do. Listen, if you work outside, boys, bundle up because your body will get cold. You're not making the heat like you normally would. And you'll have to bundle up. And listen, this is not about, yeah, I didn't drink anything but water. Well, I had some juice, so I'm a failure. I only went 3 days. I went 7. It's none of that. It's none of that. This is about us being intimate with the Father and that communion coming back. Can I encourage you? Get some crackers, or some matzahs, bread, whatever, and get some grape juice and have communion with the Father every morning and every night. Every morning and every night. Do it with your children. Have communion with them. Set this time aside. We're slowing things down. We're shutting it down. And we're going to get on track because God's called us to change the world. We're world changers. Amen. Let's stand up this morning. Whatever the need is, I want to tell you, God will meet it. Whatever the need is, God always meets the needs. You're still here today. I guarantee you there's a time in your past where you thought, I'm never going to make it. Life is over and you're still here because your God is good. And he's got a purpose and a plan for your future, and it's bigger than what you've lived so far. Much bigger than what you've lived so far. He's got more. There's more teenagers that need to get saved, that need to come in here. There's more little ones that need to come. There's more in their 20s and 30s that you get to meet every day, and all they need to hear is a kind word. There's more older people that before they go to the grave, they need to hear the goodness of God, whether it's in the hospitals or the nursing homes. Look at, if you won't serve, when we stand before God, what do we tell him? I didn't have time. Do we tell the king that it wasn't a worthy cause? What do we tell the Father? And I'm not trying to shame anybody. I'm telling you my heart. This is how I think every day. How do I give him this day? Who can I share with this day? Who am I going to bump into this day? Every day, someone's going to hear of the goodness of God. Isn't that what Paul said? That they might surrender to the obedience of Christ. We're just preaching Christ and Him crucified. Let's do that this week in preparation. And let's prepare to spend that next 2 weeks with the King of Kings. Amen? I like spending time with you, but I like spending time with Him more. The benefits of being with Him outweigh the benefits of being with you. They do. And that's all He ever wanted. He wanted a family that would come, that would know Him, would spend time with Him, would love Him, and would pull away from everybody else and just want to be with Him, and then take from Him and give to everyone around. That's what He wanted. He loves you. He adores you. He created you, and He's got a purpose for you. And so if you don't know your purpose, stick around. We'll help you out. If you're not living your purpose, stick around. We'll help you out. If you're walking in your purpose, stick around. We'll help you out. Amen? That's all our goal is. Training and equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. Get you living out your purpose. What you were created to do. Because you're good at doing what He created you to do. My wife's good at singing. I ain't. She's much gooder at it. And I want you to know you're very good at what you do, what you were created to do. Amen? This morning.